Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, you know, I'm trying to figure out what kind of mood I'm in here today. We're supposed to be lovers of truth, you know? Not just believers and followers of truth. We're supposed to be lovers of the truth. I don't think we are. In fact, I think we've bought into this idea that Oprah has spread throughout the world, and that is that there are different versions of the truth. Naomi has her version. Bob has his version. Jim has his version. Betty has her version. And because we've become convinced that there is no standalone truth anymore, we are in just a... I'm not trying to redo yesterday's show. If you didn't see yesterday's show, go back and watch it. The understand that the devil's all about chaos. It's all about chaos. We can't even agree on what's true anymore. Science. We used to trust science. You can't even trust science anymore. And we know this now. We're beginning to find out that the Bible's true and told us that the love of money is at the root of all evil. Not that the love of... Folks, look at me. The Bible doesn't say the love of money is evil. It says that the love of money is at the root of all evil. When you get to the point where you desire more and more and more money, that is the root. And when you can't do the right thing because of money, it's a root. So we have to cut things off at the root. I love money. Look, anybody watching right now who says they don't love money is lying. It motivates everything we do. Because it motivates everything we do more things to get more of it, right? Including compromise on our values. And see, compromise, golly. Christianity teaches us to do that now. To compromise, not to judge, to go along to get along, to love everybody, to not be so disagreeable, to tolerate, to be diverse, right? Folks, you got to see this, right? There is no compromise with truth. Truth is the truth. And I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and they said something. They said, you know what I like about you, Coach, is you are direct. And I thought, direct. I tried to walk through that in my head. What does that mean, direct? You mean when you say something that's not true, I say something about it? You mean in an everyday common conversation we're having, I'm not going to let you get away with saying something that's not true? See, lying, folks, isn't always nefarious. In other words, lying isn't always done for evil purposes. Sometimes lying is done for what? For tolerance and diversity and going along to get along. So we've lost our love and respect for the truth. Truth matters. True. I don't want to go down that road again today about truth, but to me, it's just so overreaching, overarching everywhere we look, folks. Everywhere we look, truth is under assault. And what did Jesus said? I am the way. I am the truth. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. Why are Christians who claim to love Jesus, why don't we love the truth? Why do we as Christians get mad when somebody tells us something that's true and we've never believed it? We do some research and say, doggone, he's right. Why are we so willing to believe lies? That's that book I was talking about. Love, is it down there? I don't have it. Love Not Lies. We do. We love lies. I'm going to dive into that a little bit here, man. I'm going to show you. I hit home run yesterday because I got some emails yesterday. Let me revisit here a second. The whole idea of the narcissistic, hedonistic nature of sex really hit a nerve with some people. Because we've made sex really... Okay, let me use this one. Do you eat to live or do you live to eat? Most of us live to eat, don't we? We get up in the morning. As soon as we get up, we can't throw something. We don't even think about it. We throw something in our face, and all during the day, we live to eat. Why? Because it satisfies one of those carnal desires, that carnal nature we have, see? And see, the idea of, dare I say this, can I be kind of crass here for a minute? The idea that you go out and fornicate with somebody, we call that making love. What? Making love? So you mean I go out? I don't. You go out and you satisfy your carnal sexual urges and call that love? We call that love? You see how they've manipulated us? You see how we've fallen away from truth? The sex act was made specifically for the marriage bond, for the reproduction of the species, period. It was not done for, what's the word I'm looking for? Wasn't just supposed to be a pleasure-driven exercise. Now, sex within the confines of marriage, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, enjoy it. But when you get to the point where the idea of sexual pleasure is driving your life, you're in a mess. That's where we are. Bible says the children are the heritage of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is his reward. I'm going to stay here a minute, okay? The fruit of the womb is his reward. Is that Psalm 127? Anybody know where that would be? Lo, children are heritage of the Lord. Is it Psalm 132? Try it, Spence. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord. Fruit of the womb is his reward. I'm just trying to find it. Bear with me a second. There it is. Yeah, how about that? I did pretty good. Psalm 127, 3 says, where? Yeah, thanks, Spence. Lo. What does that mean? It said, hey, dude. Is that what lo means? Is that what that means, Silver? Hey, dude. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are the Lord's heritage. They're not mine. I mean, they are, but they aren't. And the fruit of the womb, now we know that is his because it's italicized, it's added in there. The fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward, folks. It's not our reward. It's his reward. And as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of your youth. Happy is the man who has a full quiver. Why? It's because they're not going to be ashamed. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Children are little soldiers. Little Christian soldiers. But they can't be Christian soldiers because you send them to Caesar. And Caesar trains them to fight against truth. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm speaking from experience here. How many of you lost a child to lies? Come on, you can raise your hand. Yeah, I lost several of them to lies. Well, where did they learn those lies? Well, we sent them off to be trained by somebody else who taught them lies. And now they're not engaging with the enemies in the gate. Our children are the enemies in the gate. They're the ones that we're fighting. Look at what's going on just with the vaccines. Just look at that fighting we're having in our own home over vaccines. This would be a great survey. Somebody want to do a survey? Find out how many homeschooled children have taken the vaccine. Meaning adults who were homeschooled. Adults who are now 30, 35 years old. How many homeschooled children have taken the vaccine? I'd say probably not very many, as opposed to how many college students are. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord. And so I don't want to get burrowed down on this. We lost truth. We lost truth in the marriage bed. We lost truth in the marriage bed. We were told to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Now it says have sex, take a pill, don't have babies. Just enjoy it. Sleep around as many as you want to. Shack up. Don't get married. No commitment. It's all connected. Carlos. Remember Carlos? Sure you did. Carlos on the other day. This thing is cracking wide open. Carlos, click on it. Carlos is going to be on iHeartRadio. He's going to be with Jeff Kooner out of Boston, one of the biggest on the East Coast, huge candle, the Kooner Report. Carlos is going to be live on the Kooner Report, 9:30 a.m. this morning. He'll be live on the Jeff Kooner Report. Tip of the cap to Kevin, who helped arrange it and set it up. Because here's what was going on. Everybody was watching the video of those guys, of Carlos getting smacked and all that kind of stuff there at the BLM thing. The videos go viral. Everybody's watching the videos. They're posted everywhere. But nobody knew who they were. Nobody knew it was Carlos. Nobody knew it was Ruben. Nobody knew who these people were that were getting smacked in the face. We did. Carlos is one of us. So I began to spread the word to some of my friends. Hey, you guys want to talk to the guy who got smacked in the face? And boy, Kevin picked it up and ran with it. He's going to be on the Kooner Report. Now I'm going to tell you, this is going to be the first of many. Because Black Lives Matter, they don't care about Hispanic lives. We found that out, right? They don't care about Asian lives because they beat up an Asian person as well. They don't care about white lives. See, again, we have to expose the lies. Have to expose it. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. So up on the screen right now, Carlos will be live at 9:30 with Jeff Kooner. Going to go all up and down the East Coast. So God's open. This, as I said, this is just the beginning. Don't forget Pennsylvania this week. The tactical training out there. Chad is, I don't know if Chad's in there. Bobby, it's still filling up, right, brother? Still filling up?
Yes. Yeah, I just got an email asking me if there's still room available. There is room available, but it's very important that you guys sign up now. We're trying to nail down the final numbers. So register. Coach Dave Live, event section, register.
Amen. Amen. It's going to be great. I'm going to piggyback on some of this stuff this morning. Then real quickly, go just play that real quick 2-minute Go Therefore promo. Don't forget about Pastor Mike Spaulding's Go Therefore conference that's coming up, and they put together a little video here. Let's go. This is here in Ohio, and it's coming up the end of July. Go ahead and play it real quick, quickly.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Come join us at a call to action. July 23rd to 25th, 2021 at Harvest Revival Center in Brookville, Ohio. Go to gothereforeconference.com to register today.
Hey, man, good stuff there. Good stuff. Listen, I can't get away from this, okay? So I got to ask you this. This, to me, is at the heart of the problem we have in Christianity, all right? I should have told you all to get a piece of paper and a pencil. I didn't. What do you do when you become a Christian? What does a Christian look like? How would you recognize a Christian? Now, let's start right here a second. Let's say they did away with all churches, no buildings, no parking lots, no smoke machines, and you identify yourself as a Christian. What would that look like? What do Christians do? Now, I go back to what we just read there. It says, go ye therefore. Scroll back to the very beginning of that video, if you would, Spencer, real quickly. Go ye, because this came to me as I'm watching the video. I'm just looking under, right there, stop right there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, if it stopped right there, that would be, what? What? That's a typo. I thought all you had to do, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's going on here? Not everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? What? But, well, then who gets in? Well, but he that doeth the will of my Father, he's the one who enters into the kingdom. You say, oh, coach, now you're acting like you got to earn your way into heaven. I didn't say it. I just read his words. I just read the words from Jesus in Matthew 7. Says everybody ain't getting in. Not everyone who says they're a Christian gets in. Who does get in? Oh, he that does the will of my Father. So the question we should ask ourselves, by the way, this isn't in any of my notes here today, is what's the will of his Father? And are you doing it? Now, is the will of his Father you don't eat pork? Is that the will of his Father? Is that one of the things that's going to keep you out of heaven if you're eating pork? Are you going to be kept out of heaven if you do church on Sunday instead of Saturday? Is that good? Is that what this says? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So are following those laws, not are they a good idea? That's not my question. Are they a requirement of salvation? Do you recognize a Christian because they don't eat pork? Do you recognize a Christian because they don't drink alcohol? When you become a Christian, are you still allowed to laugh and have fun? Or do you have pickle juice in your face? What? How do you identify a Christian? Because again, I've got this Holy Spirit perspective as a football coach. I'm watching my team perform, and I'm evaluating during the game the performance of every one of those players. I go back and I watch the film and I say, look at there. Silver ain't blocking nobody. Silver ain't hitting anybody. Let's get somebody in there for Silver. He's just taking up a spot. He's just on the highway to heaven on the pleasure bus here. Get him out of there in this war for truth. But he ain't helping. He ain't helping. All he's doing is he's going around telling everybody how much Jesus loves him, but he ain't no good to us in the war. So we have to ask ourselves, what's the will of our Father? What is it? And to me, that is the central focus in my heart of what Christianity is all about. See, they say you can't earn your way into heaven. You don't get to heaven by works. But somebody help me here. When you get to heaven, it says you throw your crown at his feet. Can somebody explain to me, what are those crowns? What are those crowns you're throwing at his feet? Is it the fact you didn't eat meat on Friday? Is it the fact you didn't eat pork? Is it the fact that you celebrated church on Sunday rather than Saturday? What are the jewels in your crown that you throw at the feet of the Lord? They say, well, it's salvation. It's how many people are you getting saved? And so that's what people do. They go around and get people saved, and they're no more Christians than they are poached eggs after you get them saved. How do you recognize a Christian? You shall know them by their fruit. Christianity produces fruit. By the way, not just one kind of fruit. It doesn't just produce a love fruit. Now, it does produce a love fruit, but it comes in a variety of different forms. There's the rebuke love fruit. There's the mercy love fruit. There's the kindness love fruit, but there's the authoritative, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, he chastises. We don't even understand what love is. So we go out and we lead people to Jesus, tell them Jesus loves them, they're on the way to heaven, and Jesus himself says not everybody that does that is going to enter in. What's wrong with us, folks? What is the disconnect that we have in Christianity? Go ahead, Roger. This is a great question, and I don't have... Now, listen to me. Listen to me. I don't think I'm special because I'm out doing stuff. I don't think that makes me special. You know what I think that makes me? I think that makes me a normal Christian. The way I read it, I think that makes me a normal Christian. When I read the book of Acts, hey, Silver, I hate to tell you this, when I read the book of Acts, those boys were doing the kind of stuff I'm doing, or I'm doing the kind of stuff they were doing in the book of Acts. So evidently, after that first generation of Christians died, there wasn't any more acting. No acting. Wait a minute. Yes, there is. A lot of acting like Christians. A lot of acting going on.
Amen.
But what does a Christian do? Why did Jesus say that the best thing that you could ever do is to receive a martyr's crown? Can somebody tell me how you get martyred? Do you get martyred by showing up and telling everybody how much Jesus loves them and we tolerate him and come? I don't know. We need a reformation here, because I'm going to tell you, Christianity, in my opinion, ought to look somewhat like the book of Acts, and it doesn't. Sure doesn't. Come on in, Roger.
Well, it cuts right at, I married old Southern Baptist gal. And, at the end of every service, they have an altar call, and you go up there and you confess your sins, or you're a scoundrel, and the Lord will take care of you on the cross, the blood of the... I believe in all that. Then I look down what you just read. Does the will of my Father. And I never hear that. And I never hear that scripture.
Well, Roger,
you got me confused this morning, brother.
I'm trying to unconfuse you, see. Because, listen, the do's and the don'ts of the gospel are to try to make us more righteous, to make our vessel working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not saying those issues aren't important. But, folks, if you think that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you can become more and more holy, you've got the gospel all messed up, folks. We've got it all messed up. We are to do what? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest that he would annihilate, destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came into us to enlist us in this army of God against the forces of darkness. Go, Rog.
Well, when I read out of my Matthew 7, I don't know if I'm NIV or what I am, but it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but... Let me say that word again. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And that's pretty straightforward. Now, maybe I got my Greek translator wrong here. I don't know. But that verse in and of itself casts doubts on some foundational things that a lot of people believe.
It does, brother. It does. And the Bible says you shall know them by their fruit, right? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Does anybody know the fruits of the Spirit? We probably don't even... Golly. Holy Spirit's amazing.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness.
Goodness.
Gentleness, long-suffering.
Temperance, mercy. Huh? Self-control. Self-control, right? See, those are the fruits of the Spirit. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? But that's not just the duty of a Christian. So you have those fruits so that you can actively engage in the kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. Can you find it? Does anybody know where that is?
Galatians.
Is it in Galatians? I think it is. Somebody help me. Where's the Bible scholars when I need them?
Galatians.
Galatians, yeah, but where? Galatians. Galatians.
5:22.
Galatians 5:22. Thank you. But the fruit of the Spirit. Notice this, folks. Oh my goodness! Just go to Galatians. I'll do it. Lord. Go to Galatians 5. Just go to Galatians 5. I'll show you something.
Hey, Coach, real quick while you're waiting.
Yeah.
For the fruit of the Spirit. You said, how do you know they're a Christian? The fruit of the Spirit bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These things are the fruit of the Spirit. If remember, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Humanity, and you wonder why you don't have patience, is because we don't. What we have is tolerance, and we can only tolerate so much for a time. That's why we think, oh, I lost my patience. No, you lost your tolerance. If you walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But most of Christianity teaches don't walk in the flesh in order to walk in the Spirit.
Good point, Tom. Slide down. I got to show you this. Okay, slide down. Go down, Spencer, to about 18, I'm guessing. Okay, there it is. Start right there. This I say then, 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what Pastor Payne just said there. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. See, listen to me. We are making this scripture about you and your personal battle over sin. And that is not what this is about. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the work of the flesh are manifest or many. Watch this. The works of the flesh are plural. Okay, stay with me. Holy Spirit. Oh, man. The works of the flesh are, here's how you recognize the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murdering, drunkenness, revilings, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past. You do those things, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, that ain't heaven. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not a place we're going. Oh, Lord, I need to do that again.
Amen,
but,
Coach. Amen. But
the fruit of the Spirit, silver, is it's singular. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The purpose of the fruits of the Spirit is to make you more effective in the war against evil. This is not about just personal sanctification, which is what they've told us. See. So if I get in a situation where I'm having a debate with somebody, that fruit of the Spirit is going to help me enter in and win the debate. Because why? I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And no matter how aggravating they make me, I do not lose that fruit as I engage in the battle. And so you're listening to me right now. Say, Coach, you're angry. No, I'm not angry. I'm passionate. I'm passionate about it. Do you understand the difference? So this verse is not just to make me holy. So if I go back up to the fruit of the flesh, I'm all over the place. And they're saying, you're going to win the battle against the flesh because you got the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Oh, against such there is no law. I'm going to tell you something. I walk in every one of those. When I'm engaging in the battle for truth, Every one of those things I walk in. What? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, as I'm fighting the battle for truth. Is anybody seeing this but me? Anybody see? See, we have turned this into a personal holiness scripture, and it isn't. We're fighting against that other stuff, adultery, fornication, unclean to lasciviousness. I doubt that's what we're fighting against. Two kingdoms are clashing. And if I'm doing those things up there, those are things. And I am walking in the kingdom. I'm not going to be good to anybody. Now, I wonder how many of the people watching this show right now have ever thought of these that way. That's why we win, because I got the fruit of the Spirit. I win, and I love them enough to tell them the truth. That's what love is. Love isn't telling them, oh, you sleep with men. Oh, Jesus loves you, brother. Yeah, that's not it. I don't even know what you call that. I'm going to tell you something. Oh, Lord. No wonder.
It's called lying.
It's called lying. It's all about truth. Well, I got them lined up when we get in here today. I'm all over. I'm all over. Okay, I heard that, Lord. Lord said, don't you dare bring anybody in to talk till you show that video. That's what the Lord just said to me. Okay. Well, he said it in shorthand. Play the video on Homo Creed. Homo Creed, Spencer, it's the last one. Bradley Dean just got this today from Bradley Dean. Now, friends, I want you to think about this. Okay, stay with me. You're going to see two fruits at work here. You're going to see the lust of the flesh. You're going to see the fruit of the flesh in this video. All right? And whether you want to hear this or not, we have been called to fight this. And we're going to fight this with what? What were those fruits again, Spence? Can you go back to those, Spence? Because here they are, boys, at this pride parade. And what do they got? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, violence. He says, some of you boys used to be like that. And those guys ain't going to get into the kingdom of heaven. But you're in the kingdom of heaven now because you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And there ain't no law against that. So, boys, go oppose this evil. Because you're walking in a different gifting. We won't even stand up against this. Go back, play that video. Bradley Dean put this together. Hang on, Spencer. Because the average church will not oppose this. They'll tell you, accept it. Welcome them in. Love them. But the local church will tell you. How's that worked? Go ahead.
This is the Gay Manifesto by Michael Swift, first published in Gay Community News, February 15th through the 21st in 1987. It is also reprinted in the Congressional Record. This is what it states. We shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in all your male clubs, in your House of Congress, whenever men are with men together. Your sons shall become our minions and do our biddings. They will be recast into our image. All laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men. All homosexuals stand together as brothers. We shall triumph only when we present a common face to the vicious heterosexual enemy If you dare to cry faggot, it states, very queer at us, we will stab you in your cowardly hearts and defile your dead, puny bodies. We will unmask the powerful homosexuals who masquerade as heterosexuals. You will be shocked and frightened when you find that your presidents and their sons, your industrialists, your senators, your mayors, your generals, your athletes, your film stars, your television personalities, your civic leaders, your priests, are not the safe, familiar, heterosexual figures you assume them to be. We are everywhere. We have infiltrated your ranks. Be careful when you speak of homosexuals because we are always among you. We may be sitting across the desk from you. We may be sleeping in the same bed with you. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods are handsome young men. For us, too much is not enough. All males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual will be tried in homosexual courts of justice and will become invisible men. We shall rewrite history, history filled and debased with your heterosexual lies and distortions. We shall be victorious because we are filled with the ferocious bitterness of the oppressed who have been forced to play seemingly bit parts in your dumb heterosexual shows throughout the age. We too are capable of firing guns and manning the barricades of the ultimate revolution. Tremble, hetero swine, when we appear before you without our masks. Have you heard or read this article before? Why not?
I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. Come on in, Dale. Let's start running down through them here. Then Rochelle, go ahead.
Well, brother, right there, that is a spirit right there of perversion at the highest point. And I'll go back to that question. I knew you were going to answer your own question, that the Son of God was manifested for this purpose.
To destroy.
Here's your purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, the purpose is destroy the works of darkness. Now watch this. Then Rogers brought in Matthew chapter 7. Watch what happens here. And I'm going to ask you a question. In Matthew chapter 7, they say unto Jesus, did we not do these things? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do all these things? And Jesus looked at them and said, depart from me, for I never knew you. See, they said in the past tense, did we not do these things? Jesus looks them at a present tense and says, yeah, but I don't know you. You know why? Most Christians, they get their little badge of honor, and then all of a sudden they want to go and retire and go right on the sunset. Coach, I've known you for a long time. Even this morning, I'm like, you're impacting the kingdom of God now, later in your life as a Christian than you did earlier.
And it's true.
And this is where it's at. It's not about how old I am. There is no retirement in this battle.
No, Dale, because it's not about my self-preservation. It's about the preservation of those little arrows that God has given me. And if men don't rise up and get out of selfish, self-centered, self-focused Christianity, we will not survive. Jesus said that he laid down his life, and he asked us to do the same thing. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not laying down your life when you run into those homosexual pride parades telling them how much Jesus loves them. No, you're laying down your life when you show up at the school board and you rebuke the school board for bringing this to your children.
What does it say in Psalms 127? You read verse 3. That's not the key. The reason why them arrows are fighting against us at the gates, brother, is because verse 1 is the key. Unless the Lord build the house, they that have labored now labor in vain.
I don't even recognize Christian America. Come on in, Rochelle. Why? Because I don't recognize the Christians. Come on in, Rochelle.
Good morning, team. Oh, my gosh, that video, that is so yucky. Okay, I wanted to address what you had said about what is this supposed to look like? How do we know who's a Christian anymore? And, you know, might sound immature, and I don't do Christmas and stuff like that anymore. But when my kids were little and they believed in Santa, look at all the things that they would do getting ready for Santa. Everybody was on their best behavior. They made cookies for him. They put out food for his reindeer. They wrote him a letter. All of those things because they believed in something that loved them so much. They were bringing them a bunch of presents and toys. So you, these things in our real life, they almost look like the same thing. It's almost like the five languages in a sense. You've got to be loving towards people. Yes. You've got to give gifts that are appropriate and needed when you can, acts of service that you do for other people. Good quality time that you spend with people, fellowship, and then words of affirmation when you can build people up. But the stuff you showed here, another fruit of the Spirit, would definitely be fighting against what's evil and what's trying to take over our children. Because it's like all of us are just trying to get over our own childhood for something that happened.
Hey, folks, listen to me. Are you looking at me? Love protects. Friends, love protects. I'm not going to sacrifice my grandchildren to tell the neighborhood pedophile how much Jesus loves him. I'm not going to do that. What is wrong with us? What has happened to this powerful, life-changing gospel of the kingdom of God? We're inviting evil into the kingdom of God. We're not expanding the kingdom of God. Pastor Payne, come on then, Craig, then Paul. Go. Maybe your hand's up, you didn't know. Craig, go ahead.
Okay, so the Bible is written for the individual and the collective. Okay, nobody sat down 2,000 years ago and said, I'm going to write this for Craig Mickle. So what the thing is we need to glean the individuality that applies to our lives, but also the collective that is going on amongst us, and use the wisdom and the discernment of the Holy Spirit on how to act on that. Mm-hmm. To also address what Matthew 7, okay? Lord, Lord is an acknowledgement of position, okay? The demonic spiritual realm acknowledges the position of Christ. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Yes, sir.
But he's not the Lord of their life, okay? So we might be inferring something in that particular passage that we're not really looking at it in a deep meaning. The people who are, Jesus is King and Lord of their life, hey, they're walking through that gate, man. They got the easy pass, all right? They don't have to stop at the toll. But the people that just acknowledge him as Lord is a positional thing.
He doesn't even know him.
One of the things that I try to talk to people that really don't know about Christ, because they are, you know, when you think about it, when you just stand back, if you know nothing about God except, yeah, there's this guy in the Bible, it's like, well, why does he want all this praise? Why? I mean, is he some sort of egomaniac that needs all this praise? No. He knows who he is. The thing is you don't understand who he is to you. He doesn't need your acknowledgement of his position. He is well aware of his position. The whole thing is you do not acknowledge where his position is as creator of the world.
Here's our issue. Everybody knows God loves them. We hear him all the time. When's the last time you let everybody know that God was ticked with you? You know, dude, God's ticked off at you. The Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. Why is that not part of the gospel? Why don't we ever share that part of the gospel? Come on in, Paul.
A lot of it, Coach, they're actually walking out that scripture in a perverted way. You know, what I mean is the church for many years, it's like Billy Graham, you know, hey, go out and preach and get people saved, but don't talk about anything that's happening in the world. Don't talk about any of the social issues. Just get people saved. Keep you in your closet. Yeah. But don't go out and infiltrate the society. But that's what these weirdos are doing. They're actually living out the scripture, but you know, of course, they're living that out instead of the Christians living that out. And that's what's happening.
So Paul, I wasn't going to say this, but I am going to say it because the Holy Spirit prompted me twice. So if I run into David Arthur, should I tell David Arthur how much God loves him, or how angry God is with him? Which message should I deliver to David Arthur if I run into him? Anybody know the kind of message for me?
The latter.
Well, he knows God loves him, right?
Right.
He knows that. That's the modern American Christian message. Do as thou wilt, by the way, is the slogan of Satanism. Right?
We need to drive out the demon that is in David Arnold. Amen. Let me say that again.
Amen.
We need to drive out the demon that is in David Arthur.
In all
right
of us.
On, Roger.
Yeah. Huh?
Right
whatever. On. Whatever. What I listen, David, if you're listening, I'm sorry I'm talking about you. I'm not going to tell you how much God loves you. You already know that. You believe that. That's what so therefore it's okay to do whatever you want to. Go ahead and do it because God, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God wants you now to have sex with men. Okay. Go ahead. Come on in, Tony. You're an Ohio Brett.
Okay, Coach. Getting back to the fruits of the spirit. Fruit of the spirit. I mentioned it the other day. It's fruit because they intertwine.
That's right.
But the thing is, one part that is kind of messed up with the translations is long suffering is a lot different than patience. When long suffering, that's when like Paul was in jail writing letters, or they were in jail and they were praising God and testifying and the earthquake broke the doors open. See, long suffering is when you're in a situation and you have no control over it, but yet you still have that peace, joy, love.
Right.
In other words, nothing phases you because you have that character of Christ.
They're intertwined. They're intertwined. And I love society and my grandchildren enough to go tell the pedophile, the homosexual, that they're wicked. Stay away from them. I love my children more than them. What is wrong with you folks? Come on, Ohio Brett.
Hey, Coach. Good morning.
Amen.
Good morning, team. We got to get, as we fight back, everybody's seen these videos going viral of these parents just reading the curriculum at the school boards. Hey, school board, all we're doing is reading the evil curriculum because I love my kids so much. We're reading your evil curriculum. Well, it's time to put a forearm shiver to these churches and read that letter, that evil letter in the churches. We have to fight where they are. And I'm here in Maine, Coach, so buckle up. We'll do some type of huddle in Maine for Mike Heath maybe first week of October, so stay tuned on that. This Saturday, I'll be up in Holton, Maine. Jack will be there. Mike Heath's going to speak. So if you're around Holton, Maine in Aroostook County, come on down.
Bernie, come on in.
Okay, I think we have to also caution people against telling people that they're saved or how to be saved. There's a certain point where I was wrestling in high school with, well, I was really wrestling with sin. And so I was, pastor thought, well, I was just struggling with my salvation. He asked me questions. I gave him all the right answers. He said, well, then don't worry about it. So then years went by before I dealt with it and really had to wrestle with, I'm not living right before God. I'm in big trouble.
Amen.
And then my life changed. And we need to stop. We are not the Savior, and we need to take him to the Savior. The church doesn't save people. You don't tell people they're saved. They need to find that from the Word of God, and they need to work that out.
Amen. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Come on in, Joe.
Stop trying to be the Savior. Christ is the Savior.
Amen. And
tell them where to take their cares. Don't take them on yourself.
Amen. Come on in, Joseph.
It looks like we missed a boat somewhere. Do we know how, this might sound a little bit crusty. Do we not know how to pick up the sword and the shield to fight for God? I'll put the, in my back pocket, I'll put the love and the hate in my back pocket. The fruit of the spirit. But we got to get out there and stand. You got to get out there and stand and fight. This is a war that's going on right now. If you don't stand up for your children in our country, you're going to lose it.
Psalm 7, real quick, Spencer. Psalm 7. Psalm 7. Hey, folks, this ain't a cornucopia of Bible verses, everybody pulling out which one they want. See, living off of this one. No. That's not the way it is. Oh, Lord, my God, I do put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces where there is none to deliver. Oh, Lord my God, if I had done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yeah, I have delivered him that without cause. I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yeah, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about for their Amen. Sakes. Therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
Biden.
Was David PMS in that day? What the heck? What's going on? It says, if he turn not, he will wet his sword. He hath bent his bow. He hath made it ready. He's also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Oh, my. He buildeth, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and he has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Why? Because God hates wickedness, and he wants us to do it as well. Sorry. That's the gospel, boys. Come on in, Dale.
Well, brother, let's go back to a little history lesson. What did Edmund Burke say? He says, if we don't learn from history, we tend to repeat it. Remember when Isaiah goes to Hezekiah, Hezekiah's dying. He said, you're going to die. Make your house in order. And Hezekiah turns his head to the wall. He cries out to the Lord, right? He says, Lord, don't let me die, right? So the Lord spares him another 15 years of his life. The problem with Hezekiah, should have died. Because his worst years of his life were his last years. And then all of a sudden, Hezekiah, I'm just kind of synopsis this, it's in 2 Kings 20. He looks at him, he says, and Hezekiah invites the Babylonians to come into his kingdom and shows him everything in his house. And then Isaiah goes to him, he says, Hezekiah, what did you do? What did you do, Hezekiah? He says, well, I have shown them everything in my house. I've had nothing from their eyes. And he said unto him, he says, do you not know that Babylon will now come and it will carry off everything? Some of your sons and some of your issues with you, they will be taken away, and they will be officials in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And Hezekiah says to Isaiah, the word of the Lord, which you have spoken, is good. For though unto me in my days, there will be peace in my days. In other words, coach. People, we'll ship our little children off because we want peace in our days. We don't care about that next generation, brother. This is the eye opener for the day, brother. It's not about us. It's about our posterity. Are you going to fight? Are you going to let the devil come in and see and take your children captive?
And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my day? Wouldn't that be good? If there's some peace and some truth, there will never be peace apart from truth. Come on in, Paul, then Rochelle.
He pushed a button, Dale.
Dale, what you just shared there is exactly what the modern day church has done. They've taken the world and shown them all the goodness of God.
That's right.
And we've just like, and that's exactly, you're right on that. And, you know, but Coach, too, a question I have, the gospel or the New Testament, and the first part is what we're supposed to do with the all the stuff that he talks about, love, joy. That's how we're supposed to be towards one another in Christ.
Amen.
Not towards the world.
Brothers in Christ. That's exactly right, Paul. But we're supposed to use those fruit, that fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to use that in dealing with the world. We have powers they don't have, but we're supposed to deal with the, why can't we, what was the gospel quoting of Rodney King? Why can't we all just get along? Because the Bible tells us that can two walk together unless they agree? We can't even agree on right and wrong. How are we going to walk together? Come on in, Rochelle and Craig.
Yeah, we've talked about the armor of God before, and I mentioned that it tells us four times to stand. So we are to stand up against these things. We need to have more of a presence when these things are going on. And some people, they won't have a crown to throw back at the Lord. They'll just make it in and they'll have nothing to offer him. So people, that's the thing about being nice. You're going to get in, but you didn't stand for him.
Yeah, I don't even know where the gospel of nice came from, Rochelle. I don't even know where it came from. Come on, Craig.
It goes back to the individual and the collective again, from which is the narrative of your show, I believe. Collectively, we've lost the reverence of God, Jesus Christ.
We don't fear the Lord. Nation.
Because if we, then what happens is if you lose it in the collective, it shows up in the individual. Okay?
Yep.
And
yep.
That's where we're at. And no one has the reverence to put Jesus Christ as an authoritative figure. Who he is, Lord of their life, Lord of their nation. And so God gives you up to, well, Romans 1.
Well, Paul, listen, or Paul, I'm sorry, Craig, listen. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Hear me! He didn't say his kingdom wasn't in this world. He says, my kingdom's not of this world. He said, I'm bringing you a heavenly kingdom. In fact, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he that was with you is going to be in you. So when he says, my kingdom is not of this world, he wasn't saying it's not here. He's saying it didn't come from here. It's different than what you're used to. And we are supposed to do what? Expand from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. It's been stolen. It's been stolen. It's been violated. And violent men violate, take it by force. They take it back. Come on, Roger, about out of time. Roger, then Trump. Oh, my goodness. How'd I get on this? Go ahead, Roger.
I'll go post show.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Coach, I was going to say, Lord, Lord, how many lords are there in England? So you have to address them as Lord. You say Lord. So what do people recognize as Lord whenever they say Lord Jesus? He's a Lord to them, not the Lord.
Yeah.
So all of this complacency, it's due to abundance. People have all this abundance and then they have guilt. And look at those poor people that need something. And I'm guilty because I have all this stuff. Mm. So I set up social programs to fix my guilt by robbing from people.
So, Mark, Lord, we've made Lord a name rather than a title, huh? The Lord Jesus Christ, like that's his first name, as opposed to the Lord, the one in charge, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We don't look at it. And Larry's not in here today. Larry always makes that same point, right? He's both Savior and Lord. Is he Savior if he's not Lord? Silver, what about that? Is he Savior if he's not Lord?
He's always Lord. Savior is our choice.
He's always Lord. That's who he is, right? That's who he is. And so he said that we're supposed to hate evil. Why? Because he hates it. Are we supposed to tolerate it and embrace it? Permit it to be taught to our children and our grandchildren? Is that what we're supposed to do? I don't think you'll find that anywhere in the scriptures. The idea of tolerate, folks, that ain't a gospel phrase. That in the gospel phrase, we're not to tolerate evil. We're to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Nothing to do. Don't tolerate it. Don't have anything to do with it, but rather expose it. Now, folks, how do people act when they get exposed? Wow, that'd be why you need that full armor of God, isn't it? That's why you would need that fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, going to enter into the kingdom. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See you all tomorrow.